A man is not very tired. He is exhausted. And don't use very sad use. Come on, Mr. Overstreet, you twerp.
Morose?
Exactly, morose. Now, language was developed for one endeavor, and that is... Mr. Anderson, come on, are you a man or an amoeba? Mr. Perry.
To communicate.
No! To woo women. They were going to be talking about...
What's up, podcast family? Wilson here. While Robin Williams' character in Dead Poets Society used that playful remark about language to connect with the young men in this classroom, language is in fact an important tool for communication. And words are powerful. They have the ability to create and shape worlds and identities. So, for our second minisode of the Rico and Sueño season, we're going to focus on the word jíbaro and what it means to a few of our guests, Esmeralda Santiago, Isabel Diepa, and Rosa Colon, who you'll hear more from in a future episode, and how it has influenced their worldview and identity.
Jíbaro was actually a different situation in which in Puerto Rico, it's kind of the equivalent of like hillbilly, you know. And so nowadays, I think the word is being used with more positive terms than at the time that I was growing up, because everybody wanted to be modern. They wanted to be a city person. And the jíbaro was, you know, somebody who, a peasant, basically, as opposed to a city person. So it had negative connotations outside of the community of jíbaros. If you were a jíbaro, you were proud to be a jíbaro. But once you stepped outside of that community, you left the farm and you went to the city, or you went from your rural community to a big town, being a jíbaro was an insult, or, you know, and it was not something that that people wanted to be. So those kinds of, I knew my parents, my grandparents were jíbaros because they had a particular dialect that I recognized as a child as being the dialect of the jíbaros, because they did have their own sort of different way of pronouncing certain things, for example. And because I loved my grandparents very much, and I was a rural child, and I loved my neighbors, all of whom were jíbaros, I wanted to be that person. But my mother, who lived in the city and wanted the urban experience, she kept telling me that, no, you're not that. You were born in San Juan. You were not a jíbaro. You weren't born, like, you know, in the country. And that's not a good thing. Don't call yourself a jíbaro. And it was very confusing for me for a very, very long time, until I really understood the difference and what it meant. And when I went to the city, when I went from Toa Baja to Santurce and San Juan, the metropolitan area, indeed, people would call me a jíbaro because I had that different dialect accent. My movements are those of somebody who has the freedom of the countryside as opposed to the constraints of being in a city. All the kinds of things that defined me as a jíbaro were considered negative in the city. And I had to, you know, had to understand what it meant. And then because we went back to the country and then back to the city and then back to the country, I was constantly hopping from one to the other, because there really is different behaviors. You know, a girl in the city has a very different behavior as a girl in the country. The country girls are a lot more modest, for example. And then, of course, what I had mentioned earlier about the formal language towards adults and elders, and those kinds of things that I had to negotiate, which in fact eventually were helpful when I came to the United States. And then I was, you know, the girl from Puerto Rico, as opposed to being a girl living in the United States and learning a completely different culture. So it was an experience that was copied from being a Jíbara to being an urban girl, and then from being a Puerto Rican girl to coming to the United States and being a Puerto Rican in the United States.
When I was in the eighth grade in Puerto Rico, I read this novel called Yuyo, and it stayed with me forever because I hated that novel. It was like, it was stupid. I thought it was so stupid, but like looking back on it, it was really interesting because it was a novel that was about class and class differences. And like even the class differences on the island. Yuyo was a girl who was from the mountain and she spoke in a broken Spanish. She spoke what we would call in English like hillbilly Spanish. And the guy was from el pueblo, or the town. And in this, very much a star-crossed lovers type of story. And it taught me a lot about like the relationships and even how we saw, you know, the slang words that we would use, like jíbaro to insult you. A jíbaro is supposed to be like a hillbilly, but a jíbaro is also a term, a historical term of endearment. A jíbaro, jíbarito, is someone who is from the mountain or from el campo, but we use it also as an insult if you're not civilized.
It's a little bit bleak. It's beautiful prose, but if you read like La Llamarada or La Charca or La Carreta, it's all about that, you know, that space where these people were being oppressed and they're finding beauty in that poverty or beauty in that, because that's what it used to be like. When you see pictures of early 20th century Puerto Rico, it was like a mess. And part of what I think some of the problems that are happening today is because we don't want to associate with that poverty anymore. So you have, well, our coasts are eroding. Why? Because we decided that native beach vegetation meant poverty. It's not progress. So you have to plow it. You have to take out the sand dunes so the beach is more accessible, and you have to build because we don't want to go back to that.
You know, they say that history is written by the winners, but this is why I also think it's important not just to read historical books, but to also read poetry and fiction written by people of the time. When you read books that of like revolution or written during times of revolution, you learn a lot from the perspective of the author.
All right, that's it for our minisode. I hope you all enjoyed it. Stick around for episode 3 of Rico and Sueños, titled Language Wars. Lou and I will dive into the power, importance, and influence of language on culture and identity. Ms. Wilson for the Power of You in Fiction podcast, the nonfiction podcast about fiction and its very real effects on our lives. See you on the other side. Cheers. Oh.
siente ya desfallecido. Busca el calor, busca la luz.